we're back for another live recorded episode of AW360 from day one of Advertising Week New York 2024, the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week New York. I'm here with Brian Gernert, CEO of Resonate. Brian, how are you doing?
Good, Richard. Great to be here.
So, I mean, for starters, for the uninitiated, please tell us about Resonate and what you do there.
Sure. Resonate has built a massive predictive engine to allow marketers and advertisers to better understand who their customers are and predict the kind of next best action about how to reach them, engage with them, and drive better business results. I'm the CEO and co-founder.
I'm dying to know how this works.
Do you want the super technical version or do you want the...
No, I want the version I can understand.
So maybe it's helpful to start with when we started the business and kind of what our mission was. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of will explain how we do what we do. When we started the business, we really want to understand why people make decisions, their values, their beliefs, their motivations, things that you can never collect as final observations. And we realized that that's a big predictive capability set that we had to build. So it started with predicting attributes on individuals and things that they value and things that they will believe, that they believe, or the preferences they have. Through that, we build a predictive engine that embeds massive amounts of signal, so directly observed consumer data. Think about 30 billion consumer interactions on a daily basis that are tied to IDs and a number of other things. And on top of that, a data science-driven kind of, we'll call it AI, neural networks, machine learning infrastructure that dynamically allows us to understand any attribute about any person, and then go beyond that. So any kind of what I would call ground truth of, if 10,000 people have a characteristic, we can describe to you 250 million people that have that characteristic and identify who those are, and you can leverage that for better marketing.
Are we really that predictable?
We're pretty predictable.
Are we really?
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping we weren't, but I had a feeling we were.
Yeah.
You were on a panel earlier today. It's 4:30 as we're recording this. You were on a panel a few hours ago. It was called Harnessing the Power of Prediction for Performance. First of all, how'd it go? And secondly, what was that all about?
It went really well. We really talked about how data has been what's driven the innovation in marketing over the last 50 years. And there's a number of concerns around data today as far as there's just a massive volume of data being created, but there's also privacy issues and things like that. So we really talked about how prediction is really kind of supplanting the historical thought about just collecting more data to be able to predict these better results. So it was a really good session. We had a great conversation, highlighted a number of things of how this drives behavior, not drives behavior, but identifies behavior. In fact, to your point, MIT did a study that with 85% accuracy, you can predict the behaviors of individual human beings, which is a pretty massive number. So we were there to talk about that. And then we were there to talk about some new products that we just released. Actually today, that helps companies identify people that are potentially going to churn existing customers or the next best customer or the next best action, and using that same predictive engine specifically around the company's challenges that they're facing. If they know who could potentially churn, they can put in place some churn mitigation. Or if they have customers that they know should be better customers, identifying them to understand what marketing efforts or outreach efforts they should have to those people.
Well, we got to plug this even more. The churn thing, how does this work?
It's literally the same infrastructure. So if you think about what I said, any input on a small scale, so if we take... If we took, for instance, 10% of a customer's CRM file, mm-hmm. and we identified who churned, we can predict the rest of the 90% that will churn or have churned. And so it's that predictive engine that takes any ground truth, runs it through this machine learning infrastructure. That a big difference with what we've done is we have this ongoing update of consumer signal, mm-hmm. that 30 billion interactions, because we see how consumers are changing. So I'll give you another example why this is so different than what it is today. Today, if a company wants to build a churn model, they usually outsource it. It takes 3-4 months, costs them hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's a static model for why people churn. So it's based on historical data combined with other third-party data and a lot of hand testing. this capability allows companies to actually identify, is there a macroeconomic issue that's impacting churn? Is there a product problem that we're impacting churn? And we can dynamically rerun the models to update them to basically and take that into account. So, but how it works is taking a small seed set and being able to predict the rest.
Wow. And what is this product called?
This is a highly marketing influence. It's just Ray, which is Resonate AI, predictive modeling for business results.
Not Churnomatic.
Not Churnomatic. We're not quite that creative in our marketing efforts. I shouldn't say that because our CMO is sitting right over here, and I'm sure she'd say that we have a better name for it.
Well, honestly, I mean, if it works, you really don't have to worry about that. And I've not heard of anything that does that. That's a fascinating take on all of this. So let me ask you this. The sort of predictive model then, is that, I mean, we see so many marketers chasing really sort of granular data on each individual. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of over here sort of implying that, you know, we're largely very predictable as in groups, really. So how useful, yeah. I mean, should we be looking more at large groups versus granular data?
Well, we should definitely be looking at predicting individual people's actions or what they're likely to do next. And that should, I think it will end up supplanting this kind of drive to customer 360 conversation. So there's a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of conversation, but you need to understand your customer, everything about them, not just what they buy from you, not just their demographics, but a full kind of 360 degree view. In fact, Gartner was a big proponent of this 10 years ago. Interestingly, they just came out with a write-up that said they think 80% of the companies that have pursued customer 360 will abandon in the next 2 years. And that's really because it's just not possible. Like, it's because of privacy, because the reality is you just can't collect that much deterministic data. It's you're spending a lot of money to not get the result that you want, and you're better off predicting those results at an individual level than trying to collect that data.
Interesting. And I noticed that when you kind of said AI earlier, and then you kind of pulled back from AI.
Yeah.
Why was that?
So we were founded 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. We built a data science team literally when we were founded because we realized it was a big predictive capability set that we had to build. And at that point, AI was not what was talked about. It was neural networks, machine learning, things that really kind of still are really AI. I think generative AI and LLMs have kind of changed some of that conversation. But the hesitation is just because we've been doing this long before the conversation about AI and how AI is talked about today. So I think there is there's so many companies that are just bolting AI in front of whatever they do, or, you know, putting it behind whatever they do. And there's really not AI in those conversations. They're not really doing it. So I think there's, as a, not just from a Resonate perspective, but I think from an industry perspective, I think there's this, the hype cycle conversation about, like, I'm so tired of hearing about AI. It's really about, what does it do for you? Yeah. Well, what's the result? And at the end of the day, that's the things we need to talk about. AI is a combination of capabilities around data science and machine learning and things like that. But it's really about what's the result you can deliver. And just bolting a AI kind of name in front of your product doesn't make you AI. So that was my, pretty interesting you picked that up.
No, I actually appreciate that. I mean, for somebody who actually spends the bulk of their time talking to people from all walks of the industry, from creative to data to all points in between, I'm fascinated by how many people want to talk about AI, but how little discussion there really is to be had. Yeah. And I mean, I use it myself, and I'm excited for it. And I admit a certain amount of disappointment along the way as well, but it's fascinating to actually have somebody come in who, dodged that a little bit. And that, and you know, even though, you know, you are using a certain amount of, you know, obvious machine learning here. So yeah, that's actually, good on you. I love that. That was very cool.
Well, listen, the reality is we're doing more of it than almost any other company that I'm aware of. So, but I do think it's overused. It's overhyped. I think it's more important to get to the results. And I think when you say you've used it, it's one of the things I love about ChatGPT and LLMs and generative AI is because the average person feels like they've now touched AI.
Yeah.
They've gotten some value and they've had some hallucinations. They're like, what was that? Like, yeah. That's not, but I think it's a massive leap forward for the conversation around how machine learning, neural networks, AI can really kind of push things forward. And for the first time, we as human beings have a language translation capability into AI. I mean, I think the biggest thing about that is that now you can use English or any type of language, interact and get a result. And now people feel like they touched it like, for the first time.
Yeah.
It's been in existence. Neural networks, machine learning has been around for decades. I mean, the acceleration of what's possible is massively different just in the past 5 years for a lot of reasons. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out. But I think the more you focus on business results and what value are you creating for your customers through AI or machine learning, that's really the goal. That's what I ask people. Like, so what's the result? What are people getting?
More people should be asking that, to be honest with you. Yeah. For my last question, I love to ask what I think of as the crystal ball question. And there's no points either way. You don't get dock points if you miss. You don't get a prize if you win. But thinking in terms of 5 years from now, where do you see, let's call it prediction. Where do you see the prediction, you know, what Resonate is doing at its core? Where do you see that going?
Yeah, I think in the next 5 years, you're going to see what I'd already kind of mentioned, which is less reliant on trying to collect deterministic data for better performance. And you're going to see companies embracing really the power of prediction to actually inform not just what to do today or how to interact with the consumer, but also predicting, you know, how they're going to go to market, you know, the strategic elements of their business. Leveraging that prediction is going to change where people are going to focus their effort, their money, their resources. And so I think it's just going to accelerate. And what I think we'll see is that will be the primary place that people go to make business decisions. And some of those business decisions will be automated without people.
The power of prediction.
The power of prediction.
We should trademark that.
I hope we did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to get somebody on that immediately.
That's, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I appreciate you taking the time. This is fascinating. I love the sort of results first approach that is, and, you know, hey, you managed to, I had to say AI before you were willing to say AI. That's unheard of in this room.
Yeah. Well, I think my CMO said you should have said AI earlier, but I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time.
All right, Richard. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right.